He's right. It is mean. It's been a while since I've been here. Now that they got the supposedly the phones are repaired now, but I won't really know until somebody calls me on the phone. The number here at the station is 903-586-5257. If you'd like to join me on the air, maybe we can make up for the lost time that we've had. Anyway, it's just a great opportunity to be alive today. Could you imagine what it's like if you lived in different parts of the world where you don't have the freedoms that what we have here? It's just incredible. Okay, did that work? Are you on the air?
Yes, I am.
Perfect. Yay. Good test.
Hi, Dr. Morgan. I was wondering, I have had dry skin and peeling on the palms of my hands. I've had it on the left one for several years. It'll come maybe two or three times a year. Now I've got it on the right one. Is there something specific I can do for that?
Okay. Do you really seem to enjoy going towards sweet potatoes, collard greens, turnips, stuff like that?
Well, only sweet potatoes out of that.
Well, some people, when they're low in vitamin A or beta carotene, the skin on the hands are going to peel.
Okay.
And so one of the ways that you might remedy that is just consuming things like, have you ever heard of cod liver oil?
Yes.
If this was like 100 years ago in the past, every young mother would say, oh my goodness, we've heard from all the experts that cod liver oil is a superfood, and if we give it to our kids, it will produce radiant health.
I actually have some of the super 1,000 milligram cod liver oil, but I've only been taking one a day by mouth. Should
okay,
I rub it on my skin too?
Yeah, you should.
Okay.
Have you ever taken like a dog for a walk and he finds like a dead catfish by a pond? For some reason, they want to just jump and roll all over it and they can never get enough of it. Have you seen that before?
No, I have not.
I just think dogs are so funny when they come across a dead fish. All of a sudden, they go from standing upright to laying on their back and just rolling and rubbing all over the dead fish.
Okay.
I don't know if they're trying to get the vitamin A, though.
Oh, okay. Yeah, right.
So, as a general rule, here's what I want you to think about.
Okay.
If somebody had dry skin on the palms of their hands, one of the organ systems you got to look at is, this could be a tell that the liver is a little bit weak.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the ways that you help the liver is by not giving it so many carbohydrates. I don't have the article right in front of me, but it was showing that when people consistently overeat carbohydrates, they put an incredible strain on their liver, and the liver is what keeps the skin under surveillance 24 hours a day. It's constantly tasting the blood to find out what's going on with the palm of the hand. Why is this not working right? So if you just added butter to every single serving of a cooked vegetable that you consume, mm-hmm. I'm telling you, that might be a game changer. At the same time, if you reduce the amount of grains and carbohydrates,
right.
I had a patient one time that I put on a carnivore diet. It's kind of out of desperation, though, because there's an autoimmune disease. But we're trying to get the body just to calm down. And one of the ways you get the immune system calmed down is just by greatly reducing the carbohydrates just for a short season. And I want to say it took about 21 days on more of a carnivore diet to get the skin to clear and look better. My son was telling me that there's a family that he knows, all the children have severely cracked dry skin. I said, son, probably vitamin A and zinc. I said, do they like to eat grains? He goes, oh, yeah. Do they like dairy products? He said, yeah. So if you had frosted flakes or frosted mini wheats for breakfast with modern pasteurized milk, you're probably heading toward dry skin.
Well, I'm looking at some eggs on the counter right now.
Good. So here's one of the things that I would recommend. If you could find a way just to eat fish a couple times a week, especially if it was fatty fish like salmon or cod, mm-hmm. something like that, halibut, that would be like a move in the right direction. And if you actually put butter on your vegetables like collard greens and turnips and sweet potatoes, tomatoes, things like that, you'll start to absorb more of the nutrients from the food that you eat, which will be good.
Great. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I have no idea. Oh, there we go. Turned it off. Okay, I'm starting to figure out the new system here. The number at the radio station is 903-586-5257. If nobody calls, I want to tell you a story from last Friday. A guy calls me. Well, there's somebody calling. We'll come back to the story in just a second. Oh, good morning. Welcome to the program.
Well, good morning. I want to help you try out your new phone system.
Oh, good. Well, don't use really big words. That may overheat it. I'm joking.
That's right. Okay, so I'm 66 years old, pretty good health and stuff. On my right foot, and it's my right foot only, about two or three times a year, I will get maybe these sores that come up. And they, you know, they're a little pussy and stuff, and they will, you know, once you break them and stuff, they will go, you know, harden up and stuff and clear up and stuff. But it never happens on my left foot. It's always on the right foot. And I'm just wondering if you have any ideas what I'm to prevent.
Okay, now exactly where is this again?
It's in the arch.
Okay.
Arch area of the right foot.
So when you put your foot flat on the ground or in a shoe, it's going to be on the bottom side of the arch, right? The sole of your foot?
Bottom side of the arch and maybe just barely up on the side, you know, the instep of the foot.
All right. Before I go into it, are there any other clues that you can give me about the condition of your body? Are you taking any drugs of any kind?
No. Well, let's see. What do I take? I have Tamsulosin. I take that once a day. And the other ones that I take are I take a calcium tablet every day. I take a fish oil capsule. I take vitamin D3 every other day, zinc alternating days from the D3. And I have a digestive enzyme that I take every day, and then a turmeric capsule that I take every day.
Well, you're really trying to help yourself. Way to go.
I've tried, and I've lost 70 pounds since the first of the year, but this has been going on for 5 or 10 years.
Probably. So long before you lost 70 pounds since the first of the year, this has been a pattern that's been in place for 5 years, right?
That's correct, yes.
Have you ever taken, like, a magnifying glass and just looked at that to see if there's a piece of debris in there, like a sticker that hadn't come out?
Well, I have not, but, you know, that's on my foot. And I used to, when I was a baby, I could put my foot in my mouth, but I can't get it anymore.
You know what? That's a great setup question. I'm going to drop it. Hey, one thing I was going to tell you, years ago, I had this sore place on the bottom of my foot, and it was my own fault. I just knew that I'd stepped on a rock the wrong way while I was barefoot and, like, poked it or bruised it or a contusion. Uh-huh. But the soreness never went away. And eventually, one day, I was out in the backyard in the sunlight, and I took a magnifying glass. I said, this is ridiculous. Three weeks of suffering and limping around. And I looked, and there was a small sticker in my foot. And so I tried to, like, press on it. You know, I'm trying to get force up under the sticker so it'll, like, shoot back out. And I kind of worked it, and after a while I said, I am getting nowhere. So I think I took, like, a sewing needle, the kind that you'd use for upholstery, like a real heavy-duty one. And, of course, you know, I sterilized it, and I started digging around, just trying to give it a way to come out of me. And I pressed one more time, and I watched the splinter shoot across the backyard. It seemed that way anyway.
But
it may have just been, like, 3 or 4 feet, but I thought it shot across the yard. But after that, my problem was over. And I've seen so many people with an issue that keeps coming back up, and when I look at it with a light in a dark room, sometimes you can even find, like, a small piece of debris right there. So that's just one idea. Just because I say that doesn't make it so. But one thing that you might do is you might take, like, a little sliver of fresh garlic, you know, like a clove of garlic, and you're trying to just cut it paper thin, so whatever you can figure out how to do that, and just tape that directly over that area to see if it helps pull out whatever's in there, because there's got to be a reason why a sore keeps coming up.
Yes.
And
it's not in the same place. It's not in the same place. It's in that general area, but it's...
Oh, it's not the same place?
No.
Okay.
Oh, no, it is not the same place, no. And it's just more irritating than anything. I mean, it's something, like I said, it happens two or three times a year, but it's just interesting that it just comes up on my right foot.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you suffer from cramps at all if you get overly hot?
I would try not. I have in the past, but...
And all I'm saying is, like, if you go outside and it's really hot in the afternoon and you sweat and perspire like crazy, later that day, are you going to feel like you're wiped out, just adversely affected by the heat, more prone to cramping if you turn your foot the wrong way?
I would say yes.
Well, and one of the reasons I say that, a lot of the times that I see all these foot issues, it's really a magnesium deficiency. Now, I know that's a great oversimplification, but I was reading about mineral waters, and they were showing that people have the very best feet when they have, or they have feet that are in great, healthy, working order, when they drink hard water. You know what hard water is versus soft water? Soft water would be like a Coca-Cola.
My dad as well. Yeah, my dad.
Yeah, there you go.
Hard water's got everything in it. Yeah.
And you know what? There are so many studies that show when people drink hard water or they cook food in hard water. So if you told me we're going to cook boil some broccoli or potatoes, let's do it in the hard water. That produces great health. You get more minerals. But they were looking at all these mineral waters, and I was going down the chart trying to find out which one had the best magnesium. And the one that caught my eye was Pellegrino. Have you ever heard of Pellegrino mineral water?
Yes.
Kind of comes in a green bottle?
Yes.
Do you like the taste of that?
I don't like. I drink water out of the tap. You know, to me, water, I live in Tyler, and their water's great, and I just drink it straight out of the tap.
Well, I got a sales pitch for you.
Okay.
If you were to go to the health food store, whether that's called Drug Emporium, the Granary, Whole Health, Sprouts, Natural Grocer, and you purchase what's called a Celtic or Celtic salt.
Uh-huh.
That is a natural occurring salt that hadn't been modified. They don't add any chemicals to it. There's no aluminum powder. There's nothing wrong with it. But it's very naturally high in magnesium. And this could be an interesting experiment for you. If when you wake up in the morning, you would put maybe a half of a teaspoon of Celtic salt in a big glass of water. Let's just say 20 to maybe 25 ounces, 26, something like that. I don't care if it's a quart. If you could sip that water over the course of an hour and get your minerals in, tell me if even this area on your foot begins to clear and go away. Because almost every problem that happens with a human being is going to take place in the presence of a mineral deficiency.
Okay.
I do not have the article in front of me, but they've done these experiments with the COVID-19 on mice. And so they take mice that get to lick mineral blocks, kind of like your cows out in the pasture. The ones that do, they have the lowest consequence. The ones that are mineral deficient, oh my goodness, COVID-19 takes over their body like there's no tomorrow. This may be a waste of your time, but hopefully not. A woman was telling me that her daughter runs the emergency room in the one of the clinics here in Jacksonville, and she said they are being flooded by white men that are really, really overweight, and they're between 40 and 50 years of age, and those are the people that are showing up with all the horrible symptoms. And I asked her a question. I said, are these men beer drinkers? She goes, heck yeah. And so there's an example there. When you drink beer, oh, my goodness, does it severely deplete your body of nutrients, especially vitamin B1 or thiamine, but also magnesium and zinc. Those are the very things the immune system needs to be able to counter an infection. So if you're drinking beer every day, you're kind of really, you're the most predisposed person to getting sick.
You know, that'll be easy for me because the first thing I do every morning when I get up is drink a large glass of water before I do anything.
Oh, that is so smart.
Salt to that, and so
if you just do that one thing, and you know, the other thing that you could do is you could even take just a little bit of sodium bicarbonate or baking soda and add to it also to increase the hardness of the water and the mineral content. And if you know, the thing about this is, here's what's going to happen. You're going to tell me that you feel even more energetic and you have more energy than what you have right now if you do this.
Well, that's, you know, it's 67 years old. We always need more energy.
That's right. Do you see how I'm trying to diabolically trick you into being super healthy and not need to go to the hospital?
I am for that. The hospital is not a place that anybody wants to be right now. So
no, they don't. If you need to go, you need to go. But if you don't need to be there, stay clear.
That is right. Thank you, Dr. Morgan.
All
right.
Have a great day. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay. I'm still trying to make sure. I think I got it figured out now. There's like an additional button to push here. Hey, I can learn. All right. The number is 903-586-5257. Good morning. Oh, rats, I just hung up on them. Let me try again. Okay, let's see if that works. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan.
How are you?
I'm better. You are a lifesaver. I took your recommendation this last Monday about the brand name for that one you told me about is CAPZASIN-HP for high power, I guess.
Yeah, that sounds like high power or high potency.
And the pharmacist actually tried to get me not to get it because of the burn, but I got it because she didn't have the one in the biofreeze that she said I needed. So anyway, I used it one night, Monday night, and I finally got up after an hour and a half and wiped it off because it doesn't just burn, it keeps on burning. And I was having a little trouble sleeping. But anyway, I went back and I did get the biofreeze. got the gel first and later went back and took that back and got the cream seems to do a little better than the gel does.
Now, tell me again, what were you using these for?
My stiff neck.
Oh, yeah. You were telling me that your neck was like super, super painful and stiff, right?
Unbelievable, and it's just stress. It's just total stress, I feel I'm in a bad, real estate deal with a 20-year supposed friend, which I have come to find out. You put money in the mix.
I know. All of a sudden, people think, you know what, here's an opportunity for me to take this guy. I'm so sorry.
Well, and that's exactly, he's on a power trip with that, too.
Oh, I've had that happen to me before.
Anyway, but the only, and so what I'm doing now, I use the biofreeze at night so I can get to sleep a little better, and then I use the, however you say that other one,
capsaicin.
Yeah, capsaicin in the mornings when I get up. Because I can, you know, when I'm awake, I'm going to stay awake, or I can stand it, you know.
Yeah, exactly. But are you applying it more than once a day or just the one time a day?
I'm just doing the biofreeze at night and that in the morning. It says not more than four times a day, I think, for either one of them.
Okay. Well, do you think it's really helping so far?
Oh, it's definitely helping. It helps.
You know what? I've had people call me before, and they said, my neck is so stiff and painful, it won't move without severe pain. Sometimes lemon juice is all they have to put on the neck.
Okay, I'm sorry. After in the mornings, about 2 or 3 o'clock in the mornings, when it seemed like the biofreeze, or even when I use the other one, well, I took that one off myself, I have to admit, but you know, not working anymore, then I start with your lemon juice treatments. I really do. I use that about 2 or 3 times a night and to try to make it through the rest of the night.
Well, is this getting you to a much better place? Are you starting to see the light at the end of the tunnel?
I am, except for one real serious thing. Serious.
What is that?
I try to lay my... Anytime I try to pick something up off the floor, or I lay my head down on the pillow, or I try to take my head up off the pillow, I have these terrible sharp shooting pains in my head. The top of my head is just sore as can
be. Is there any possibility you could be dehydrated? Because that's not uncommon when someone's dehydrated.
I write it down, doctor. I measure my water. I'm doing like 10 glasses of water a day.
Well, you got to put. Let's just try putting some baking soda and some Celtic salt in it. See if that really helps remedy the situation.
Baking soda, and I just heard.
Well, if you took, like, for example, a quart of water, you could easily put a half a teaspoon of baking soda in it, just plain baking soda, and then if you had some Celtic salt, you could use like a half of a teaspoon of Celtic salt, and it'll stir up in about 20 stirs probably. If you started adding some lemon or lime juice to it to kind of add some rich electrolytes, and one thing that would actually make it even better, if you took some frozen Concord grape juice and put a few spoonfuls in that quart of water, you're kind of making your own Gatorade, but this is one of the keys to really rehydrating your muscles, and even the brain needs to be rehydrated.
Okay, what kind of grape juice?
Well, if you get the frozen kind, I kind of favor that because it's more natural, if I can say it that way. But if you were to use some frozen grape concentrate, like the kind that you have to reconstitute with water to mix it up and drink it, let's see if we can rehydrate that, get that top of the pain, serious discomfort to go away.
Okay, how much baking soda again was that?
I say a half of a teaspoon. And a half teaspoon on the Celtic salt also. And maybe the juice of an entire lemon or lime would be fine in a quart of water. If you would just make it a priority to drink that entire quart in about 30 minutes, I think you're going to see your fortunes change for the better, and I think you're going to see this terrible head pain disappear and go away. I know this sounds weird, but when a man is low in salt, it causes fluid to build up in the brain, and that makes the head hurt bad. I mean, it's one of the worst pains I've ever seen. So all we want to do is try to change these mineral dynamics to help enliven your cells so they can do their job better. Now, I realize there's cost involved. I mean, a lemon's, what, 50 cents? And but baking soda is, what, a penny? And the Celtic salt, 2 cents? I don't know. But this is a pretty, if this helps give you some relief and you start feeling great, that's going to be great. I love it.
Okay, I just wanted to say a half a teaspoon baking soda, half a teaspoon Celtic salt.
Yeah.
And lemon juice, how much, approximately one lemon or?
Yeah, that'd be great. I think you got a really, really good plan right here.
And how much of the grape, frozen grape concentrate?
You could take like 3 or 4 spoonfuls, fine by me. It'll be like a weak grape drink. But if you do this, all those components you just add to the water are going to make it more absorbable to the cells. It's going to rehydrate your body much better. So, I mean, you could drink Gatorade if you wanted to, but why would you when you can make this right here? This is about 100 times better. Okay. So your body's doing a good job of telling you what the problem is. And so on the top of the head, that means your cerebrospinal fluid is becoming stagnant. And you probably have a little bit of fluid building up. So let's just try using a little bit of salt, a little bit of baking soda, a little bit of lemon juice and grape juice, and see if we can't turn this around.
Okay.
Who knows? You may call this time next week and say you're cured.
My cerebral heart is...
Well, it's called cerebrospinal fluid. That's the fluid that's there to help nourish and bathe and clean your brain. But it can actually start pooling up in the brain when you're low in water or sodium.
Okay. The doctor told me about 4 months ago, to quit drinking. I was drinking too much water. I was doing 6 glasses in the morning at one time, you know, and I quit doing that. I spread it out now over an hour.
Well, there's nothing wrong with the water, but your water you're drinking is very deficient in minerals and electrolytes, so you can change the whole equation just by adding minerals to it.
This is what she said, and she said add something to all the water you drink. So I put... In the morning when I first get up, I put my apple cider vinegar in it.
There you go.
The next one I put, now I don't know about this one, you might not like this one, the emergency C in the next one, and then I put the warm lemon juice in the third one. That's every 2 glasses, that is. And then the rest of it I use aloe vera.
Well, no, this is all, you're doing great. I mean, you're really trying to help yourself. Let's just make a modification by adding a little bit of grape, sodium bicarbonate, and minerals.
I'll do this to the one where I add my lemon anyway.
There you go.
And, but what about the thing, doctor? You know, I thought they used to always say in the old days that, hey, any water you drink that's got anything added to it is not what your body is not, you can't count as having drank water. I thought they used to say that, you know, in the old
Well, days. when they involve stuff like coffee and tea, yeah. So between if it was a soft drink like a Coca-Cola or Dr. Pepper, tea, coffee, yeah, those tend to be more dehydrating. You know what? I kind of backed myself in a corner here because if you said, hey, Roy, if you were in the Sahara Desert and you were dying of thirst and you couldn't take it, would you drink a Coke? I'd say, yeah, I would. Anything to, you know, keep me going. But overall, they were very dehydrating to the body. And so when you just take plain water and you make it hard by adding minerals to it, you're benefiting your body. That's kind of why I mentioned the Pellegrino mineral water. There was a study that showed that the mood of everybody improves across the board when you add minerals to the water, especially magnesium. But then again, it makes sense because you can't make the neurotransmitter serotonin without magnesium. And you cannot have energy without magnesium. And you can't feel good without magnesium. So when I read the Pellegrino mineral water is rich in magnesium, I thought, no wonder I like the stuff. It tastes good. If you asked me if I could have mineral water that's got some carbon dioxide in it, I'd say, oh my goodness. I never have to drink a soft drink or tea again. I love mineral water.
It's got carbon dioxide in it?
Well, the more minerals that are naturally occurring in a water, they usually put carbon dioxide in it that makes it kind of bubbly. And sometimes that's natural occurring, and sometimes they add the carbon dioxide to the water. But to me, it gives it a great taste. And so carbon dioxide, it has so much to do with your oxygen saturation of your body. That's one of the reasons that breathing is important. And there's been studies that show that when people have major issues with their body, drinking carbon dioxide-rich water, you know, like bubbly mineral water, is actually really, really good for them to help them feel better soon.
Okay, I hate the bubbly mineral water, but anyway.
Did I just detect a bad attitude on your end of the phone line?
Yes, probably so. I was in Germany. That's all they practically drink over there. They said that when, after the war, they thought the Americans were trying to poison them by putting chlorine in the water, you know.
They were. No, I know. They think they're doing the right thing. Well, if I had my choice, I'd be like in a spring that's bubbling up from in the mountains of Italy right now, drinking the water. So if you want to add lemon or lime to the bubbly water to make it taste better, or a little bit of frozen grape concentrate, let's try that and see if that helps you get it down.
Okay. So this is called Pellegrino mineral water.
Yeah, it comes in a green bottle. You can buy it at the store. Pellegrino.
Pretty expensive, I expect.
Yeah. Anytime they have to put something in a bottle and ship it across the world, it ain't gonna be free.
Okay, well, Doc, I'm gonna try this mix first of all and go to the store today and try.
Sounds great. I wish you the best, man.
You kept me out of the emergency room. There's no doubt in my mind. If I could have even made it to the emergency room.
Well, I'm glad I could have been of service to you. You're a good man. Keep up the good work.
You take care, and thank you, Doctor, for your help.
All righty. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. If you'd like to join me on the air, there is a phone line officially open, 903-586-5257. If nobody calls, I'll tell you a story from last Friday. Somebody's calling. Good morning. Welcome to the program. Hello, you're on the air. I'm Dr. Morgan. How are you?
Good morning. I was calling to ask about a knee problem I have, that it's gout in a knee, and what you think I could do for that. It just started about 3-4 weeks ago.
Oh, well, this is the first time you've had this, right?
Yes, sir.
There is an herb found in nature called the celery plant.
Oh,
and
yes.
It produces what are called celery seeds, so it can regrow after its own kind. But mm-hmm. If you were to just go to the health store and purchase what's called celery seed extract, it can do a phenomenal job at removing the uric acid crystals from your knee.
Okay.
The other thing I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say the other thing that I like very, very much is if you add lemon juice to whatever you're drinking or eating, lemon juice is the universal solvent that helps dissolve and break down the uric acid crystals.
Okay.
Now, here's where I'm going to be a little bit negative. I'm not attacking you, but studies show that the more sugar you eat, the higher the uric acid levels will start to build up in the blood.
Okay.
Your kidneys are the gatekeeper, which means if your kidneys become a little bit stressed or weak, that's actually where uric acid can start to build up and lead to gout.
Okay.
The highest foods in uric acid are going to be black tea and pork. That's just like regular tea that you buy at a restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
Do you by chance drink a lot of tea?
I do not. I usually just drink water.
Do you have a herd of hogs in your backyard?
Not yet.
But you're thinking you'll look out the window with your binoculars and say, oh no, now that Dr. Morgan said it, here they come.
Right.
You know what, when I was a boy, it was my job to take a bucket of the scraps and go out and slop the hogs in the trough. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, I do.
One time I had a squirrel that was dead. I accidentally dropped it. That's a joke. There's no accidents. The hog devoured the squirrel in like one nanosecond. I could still see the chomping its jaws and the tail down.
Wow.
You know what would happen to me if I fell in the trough? I would have been eaten a long time ago.
Yeah.
But my point is, pork has the highest natural concentration of uric acid.
So no pork, and it's no tea at all?
Well, if you were to switch to herbal tea like a hibiscus, rose hips, dandelion, things like that, those would actually have a great healing quality. And, of course, I kind of like thinking about this. If you drink herbal tea, that means you're voting to help your body. You're trying to improve your health. And so adding a little bit of lemon is one of the ways that you can start to dissolve those crystals, but usually the higher the sugar intake or carbohydrate, the worse the problem you're going to have with the gout. And it may be that you've got a little bit of a weakness in your right kidney if it's your right knee.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so what's the hardest thing on the kidneys? Probably sugar or soft drinks.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Don't do those.
Do you want a Fanta? I'm joking.
No, I don't.
Good answer. And so when there's gout, celery seed extract, you could drink the tart cherry juice, but celery seed probably works faster than anything.
Okay. Celery seed. All right.
I hope you heal really quickly.
Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome. You have a great day. Thank you, ma'am. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, if you'd like to join me on the air, there is another phone line open, or the phone line is once again open at 903-586-5257. Good morning, and
good
welcome
morning
to the program. Are you there?
Dr. Mark.
Your phone is breaking up significantly.
Oh, how about now?
That's better. Thank you.
I'm sorry about that.
That's all right.
I wanted to ask you a question. Is there anything that can be done for cirrhosis of the liver? They say he has a mild case, but I didn't know if there were mild cases.
Oh, baby, the liver is the organ that will rejuvenate if you give it a chance.
Oh, great.
I promise you, I've seen it over and over again. So can I just make this sound very, very simple?
Yes.
Okay, with cirrhosis of the liver, You gotta create the right environment for the liver to repair itself. And so I would venture a guess that if this person that's got cirrhosis would be willing to give up grains and sugar and carbohydrates and just focus on eating meat and vegetables and a little bit of fruit. Now, the safest fruits of all time are going to be things like strawberries and blackberries, raspberries, cherries, blueberries. The berry family is the easiest ones that I know of, and they have the highest nutrient density. And usually they're the lowest in sugar, so eating one green salad a day, that would go a long way to helping to fix this. Now, if it was me, I would probably go to a store like a health food store and buy, I think the brand name is called Bragg's. They make one of the best salad dressings of all time.
Okay.
So you can make the food taste good, but if you eat four meals a day, hard to overcome the cirrhosis of the liver. But if you had just two meals a day, skipping breakfast, and eating in a feeding window of 6 hours, you're going to create a process called autophagy. And that means if you go 18 hours a day without food, which hopefully deep sleep for 8 hours is one of the ways to get through those 18 hours, what you're going to do is your body's going to say, oh, my goodness, he is not going to give me any breakfast. What am I going to do? Well, it's going to eat you. And if your body says, where can we go to find some fat and other calories? Well, it's going to go to the liver. So, but with cirrhosis of the liver, oh my goodness, B vitamins are so critical. Now, the B vitamins that I like, they come from calf liver. So if you can find like a natural, I usually use what's called Cataplex BGF to rejuvenate the liver. That's by standard process. Yeah. And they have another supplement that's called Hepatrophin PMG. That works great. If I told you how many people came to see me over the years and they had pain coming from their liver, and usually here, this is how it goes. They go, Dr. Morgan, I've been to 6 GI doctors. They tell me this is just, I'm going to have to live with it. And then when I examine them, I find out the chief problem is it's their liver that's crying out in pain. Well, let's target feeding and repairing the liver. But Hepatrophin PMG, I've seen that make liver pain go away. Why does the liver pain go away? Because it's healed. And when something's healed, it doesn't hurt.
Well, they're pulling fluid off of his stomach about every week.
Well, he's probably got other complications too, doesn't he? Is there any alcohol use at all?
Oh, used to be tons.
Okay, so we've got a little bit of rejuvenation that's in line or in order here, right?
Correct.
Or is that a lot of rejuvenation that we need?
A lot.
Yeah, well, you know what? He couldn't go wrong if he drank dandelion root tea every day.
Okay.
3 cups wouldn't be too much, and I'm telling you, if I have to start buying and selling lemons to deliver them to people, I may have to start doing that as my side job, because lemons will start to scrub his liver clean.
Okay.
We need to get the immune system to remove all the old damaged cells and tissue and debris and get rid of it so it can be replaced by perfect, beautiful, healthy liver cells.
Okay.
So there's an herb called milk thistle. Have you ever heard of that?
Oh, yes. I'm well aware of milk thistle.
If he cannot tolerate dandelion root tea, which I think tastes good, not everybody feels the same way. I've seen people just about have a nervous breakdown thinking that I wanted them to drink a cup of it. I'm going, okay, you're having a meltdown over a cup of tea. But you could always take... What was that?
I do it 3 times a day.
Do you have cirrhosis of your liver?
No.
Exactly. But if he couldn't take the tea, then you could always get dandelion root from picking it on the side of the road or taking it in a supplement.
Okay.
And so the other thing that I'm going to try to sell him on, and I think this works, if he would go outside and just sunbathe his liver, and all I'm saying is point or orient his liver toward the sun rays, and let the sunshine just kind of permeate the skin over the liver. It's called heliotherapy. I think it works. Did I mention it's free?
Yay for that.
And so if he could really fall in love with more of a meat and vegetable-based diet, kind of like a paleo, keto, something like that, we can start to repair the liver.
Oh, good. All right. Well, listen, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you. Thank you for your call. I appreciate you a bunch.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. You know what? I'm starting to get the hang of this phone system now. I think this could work. Thank you, Randy. Thank you, JP. You get an A+ on your report card. Good morning, and welcome to the program.
Hi, Dr. Morgan.
Hello. How are you?
Good. Thank you. I have a couple of questions. If someone has a stent, no clogged arteries or anything, but no longer having to take any medication except an aspirin, what do you recommend instead of, because I know you said that there's stomach bleeding with taking an aspirin a day?
Yeah, every time. Okay. Just to re-quote that study, if someone hasn't heard it, when they gave just baby aspirin to like over 38,000 individuals, they discovered there was somewhere between 1/2 teaspoon all the way up to 1.5 tablespoons of blood loss every single day just from taking a baby aspirin. So when you lose a tablespoon and a half of blood, what happens? Either you become anemic, or your body's able to keep up with the demand and the bone marrow keeps pumping out blood cells. But here's what I didn't catch. You said something to begin with. I just didn't catch that. What's the problem again?
A stent.
Okay. Thank you for going back over that. So what are you asking me exactly? What can you take in place of an aspirin?
Correct.
Okay. Well, you've got some options here, and I realize these are going to be pretty dicey because when somebody has a stent placed in a coronary artery of the heart, they're going to put them on a blood thinner like Pradaxa or Eliquis or Xarelto, something like that, or Plavix. They're just going to try to make sure. But here's what you're looking at.
They had did Plavix for over a year, so no longer needed that. But because they still don't know the why of the heart attack, so they speak the basically the artery would collapse, something kind of get stiff and collapse.
Well, if it collapses, we need to give this person vitamin C. Without vitamin C, you cannot have what's called proper collagen formation. Everything kind of becomes weak. I know it's extreme the way I'm saying this, but there used to be a disease that was more common among British sailors called scurvy. And I think I've seen maybe 6 cases of scurvy in 32 years. Not a lot. But I tell you what, every one of them responded like a champ to giving them vitamin C. Oh, my word. Fast turnaround. And so when the vessels tend to collapse after a stent or after they did like a balloon, you know how they could do like a catheterization where they put a balloon to try to open up a vessel if there's like a stent before or after?
Mm-hmm.
So if someone's low in vitamin C, they're just kind of asking for those vessels to collapse. And so that's where you can fix all this just by giving people foods that are rich in vitamin C. Should I talk about lemons one more time? So one thing that I'm sorry, go ahead.
Now, but my question too is that I mean, you know, as the medical who asks to take as a preventive for the stent, whatever. So if you cannot take the aspirin, what is alternative to build that?
Well, in my mind, this is what popped up before I when you said that. Number one, what they used to do is if somebody showed up at the ER and they had a heart attack, they would start an immediate IV of magnesium. That's what they used to do. That was the total protocol, work like a champ. I don't think anything works better, but now they favor more potent drugs that probably cost more. Magnesium's cheap. But they literally used to give magnesium to try to counter a heart attack. But when you have low levels of magnesium in the body, you're going to have the highest occurrence of heart attacks. That's why when people live in an area where there's harder water, meaning the magnesium is just naturally occurring from like the deep wells, they have the lowest number of cases of myocardial infarctions. But the other mineral that I was thinking of is potassium. If you had one green salad a day, and you can make it just about any way that your imagination comes up with. Yesterday for lunch, I had someone bring me these really large red bell peppers with hummus. I'm telling you, those bell peppers were delicious. I mean, it's like eating candy. And that's a great source of vitamin C. But I had a meal of hummus and red bell peppers.
Yes. Like I said, now it's just what to do for instead of the aspirin.
Well, one thing that I would look at is if you can eat rich, mineral-rich foods, that's going to be a start in the right direction because usually when a person has adequate potassium, blood flow is much faster and better than when it's not. So getting a salad a day is going to go a long way to helping to speed the blood flow.
Okay.
But probably a more accurate answer to your question, there is a substance found in nature. It's a natural antifungal herbicide that's found in plants. Mm-hmm. It's called resveratrol.
Yes.
Resveratrol can go a long way to improving blood dynamics through the coronary arteries and blood vessels. And there's so much good research on that. So even if you were to type in resveratrol for someone with a heart attack, I think you're going to be very, very impressed.
Okay.
The other substance that I want you, there's two more that I want to think about right here. Actually, there's three more. There is a substance called black currant seed oil.
like currency.
And it doesn't take very much. It has the highest natural occurring amount of what's called gamma linoleic acid. Mm-hmm. And that helps the body very much when it comes to blood flow and making sure that your arteries don't become overly sticky and the platelets forming clots with fibrinogen and stuff like that. So, and it just requires just a little bit. Cod liver oil also plays a role in blood flow and circulation. Mm-hmm. But besides resveratrol and blackcurrant seed oil, fish oil, the greatest blood thinner of all time is probably garlic from the natural kingdom. Right. There is an herb called hawthorn. I have seen hawthorn work so fast on people sometimes with major heart problems and blood flow issues. Mm-hmm. It's just almost borderline magical. I don't mean magical because I believe in magic. I'm just using the word as a figure of speech.
Oh, cool.
And so there is an extract that you find. It's commonly in rice bran. It's called IP6 or inositol hexaphosphate. That improves the health of the coronary arteries tremendously. And it's cheap. Did I mention it comes from rice bran, which means it's natural. God made it.
Okay. So IP6, did you get that in there?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, but the number one thing that's going to totally screw up the blood is going to be sugar. Mm-hmm. And so if a person had just a little bit of sugar every so often, like if they said, you know what, I can't make it without sugar. Okay. Have a piece or two of the really dark chocolate that's not that sweet. Eat blueberries and cherries and strawberries and raspberries.
Okay. Okay, thank you. I have a second question. This is, I have in my face kind of like pimples that show up, but they get hard. It's never like a regular pimple that get fussy and you get rid of it. And they just get hardened and they're getting all over my face. So they're just like solid, like a, I don't know how to explain other than it's like a...
No, I know what you mean.
Okay, so...
Are you ever tempted to kind of press your nails underneath the edge of it to see if you can get them to come out?
Yeah.
Does it come out?
No.
Okay. There's two or three things that you might need to think about here. Number one, we might just try fresh lemon juice over the area of the skin where you have these hard, you know, white mm-hmm. gunk that's in the sebaceous glands. You might try lemon juice every night after you take a shower or bath. And then once the lemon juice kind of soaks into the skin, then you would apply what I would call unfiltered extra virgin olive oil and just let your skin drink it up. Let's see if we can kind of dissolve those that way.
Okay.
Now, I have seen those occur sometimes in people that consume very large amounts of chocolate. Are you one of those people that consumes very large amounts of chocolate?
Not really.
Okay. Wait, did you hesitate? That means maybe you do?
Yeah, I know.
Okay, so you can easily try that. Sometimes I'll even use cucumber juice on those to see if they'll dissolve and go away.
Uh-huh. Okay, cucumber juice. Cool. All right, since I have you on, what do you think of mini trampoline jumping for exercise if someone cannot?
I think it's a really good idea. And, you know, I like your attitude. If you can't do regular exercise... We have to find something that you can do to keep the body moving because you know how it says in the Bible, life is in the blood? Well, that's true as long as the blood's moving, right?
Correct.
If blood stops moving, usually things don't go real well 3 days after your blood stops. I'm joking. So the mini trampoline is just brilliant. I love it.
Okay. All right. So that was it. And how can you tell somebody has carpal tunnel?
How can you tell?
Yeah, what is this?
Oh, they have that. Well, I think they'll tell you. They'll say, oh, my goodness, my hand has gone numb. It's burning. It's tingling. It hurts all the time at the wrist. Usually it's going to be the thumb, the index, or the pointing finger, and the middle finger. That's carpal tunnel.
Okay. It's when it goes up to your arm and...
It can, yeah.
Okay.
There's just compression on what a nerve called the median nerve. And so the nerve starts getting choked to death, and it's like you ever had your legs crossed in church and the leg goes to sleep?
Yeah.
Okay. This is about a million times worse than that when it's carpal tunnel because you can't uncross your legs and make your wrist feel better. But there's a technique where you stretch that tunnel open that works very, very well.
Okay, let's try it.
I don't remember there's an osteopathic doctor in Chicago, Illinois. I think Chicago is like a small country town in Illinois. I've never been there before.
Yeah.
Right. I hear rumors it's like real small. But this doctor, he would just stretch that carpal tunnel open, and he had as much response as somebody that had like the carpal tunnel release surgery.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes with carpal tunnel, if a person's low in magnesium and low in B6, they're going to have carpal tunnel. I've seen cases where just giving the person B6 and magnesium just totally reversed it.
Hmm.
Okay. Now, the more a person weighs, the harder it is to make it
go
away.
How about overuse of your hand, though? Would that cause that too?
What'd you say?
Overuse, like scrubbing, doing things with your hand continually.
Yeah, what is this your plan, to wreck your wrist by scrubbing continually 24 hours a day? Yeah, no, you can do that. You can overdo it.
Yeah. Okay. Just wonder. I mean, I'm not pointing on it, but have done in the past, so wonder.
Well, and the other thing that you can try is you could just submerge your hand in a bowl of ice-cold water for 10 minutes. And when you do that, that pulls the inflammation out of the hand really, really well.
Okay.
But if you were to go like on a website called YouTube, you could just look up stretching exercises for carpal tunnel. And you surely will find one or two things, and you might even be able to do them. Like if you're in your car and you're driving from job to job or location to location, you might just do some of those exercises to stretch that out. But yes, overwork and doing lots of repetitive activities, that'd be rough.
Yeah.
So just in case you were thinking about getting a job operating a air-powered jackhammer, I'm going to advise you against that.
Okay, thank you.
I mean, I know that would be a good look for you, to have heavy steel-toe boots on and a hard hat, but probably not.
Okay. Last question quickly here. Do you have a protocol to treat if somebody showed up and asked you to treat them for the big seat that's going on around?
Yeah, and I was going to say, last Friday, I had a guy call me on the phone. He said, "Hey, Dr. Morgan, I'm in a bad way." I said, "What's wrong?" He said, "I got COVID pneumonia." And I said, "Okay." He says, "What do I do?" And I said, "Well, can you make it over here?" And he basically told me that he was too weak and too exhausted and worn out to even get up and get in his vehicle. So I believe him.
Uh-huh.
So he tells me he's hurting all over, his lungs ache and hurt. Now, I'm only telling you how the conversation went down because, you know, not everybody can make it to the ER, and not everybody has a doctor that lives next door to him. So we came up with a plan, and I'm going to tell you what his plan was. I had nothing to do with this. I'm just joking. But he called his next-door neighbor and said, "Can I borrow some of your ivermectin?" And he said within 30 minutes, the neighbor showed up with some ivermectin. And, you know, everybody chooses what they're going to do, but this particular gentleman, he said, "I'm going to take a dose of ivermectin." Now, when he talked to me, he said he was really nervous about taking as much as we had talked about, so he said, "Can I just take a little bit?" I said, "Of course you can." But he calls me back, and this is what he tells me. He says, "You're not going to believe this. Exactly 30 minutes after I took the dose of ivermectin," he said, "all the pain in my lungs went away and my body stopped hurting." Now, to me, that's extremely impressive. I haven't heard somebody tell me that before. And then I sent him a text the very next day to check on him, in which I said, "Hey, have you croaked yet?" Which is probably really wrong of me to do that, but I was just joking with him. And he said, "I'm outside playing right now." I'm going, "Well, you can't be too sick if you're outside having fun."
There you go.
So it was the use of ivermectin. And, of course, I've tried to read as many articles as I can. I know that if you listen to the media, they're going to say that ivermectin is just nuts. Okay, everybody can have their own opinion. But I've seen that particular pharmaceutical drug work better than almost all the others.
I believe. I'm not hoping to have to, but I want to know that somebody's there if something happened.
Well, you know what I want for you? I want you to have natural, God-given immunity, which means when you have contact with a person that's been sick with the coronavirus, you want your body to respond properly. And if it does respond properly, then you develop what's called natural immunity or antibodies against it. I'm telling you right now, if anybody wants to call and argue that point that I'm wrong, they can try as much as they want. But the studies are showing now that natural immunity is the greatest plan that you've got. And so when that's one of the reasons why if you take zinc and vitamin D and vitamin C, you're doing everything that you can to help yourself stay strong.
Can you take the vitamin D and zinc at the same time or not?
Yeah, absolutely you can.
Okay, so somebody earlier said it's different.
Yeah, and you know, I read it this morning. I don't have it right in front of me, but they're showing now that a magnesium deficiency plays a pretty huge role over who's going to have problems with the coronavirus and who's not. And so the more that I say the topic, that's one of the reasons why I was talking about the hard water this morning and adding Celtic salt to water, because it's magnesium. And when you get magnesium from water, I really don't know that you can do any better than that. I mean, yeah, magnesium from food is great, but there's almost nobody that's going to get enough magnesium over the course of a day.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so which brand of magnesium do you recommend, please?
Well, excuse me, I choked on water. Here, you talk for 10 seconds, then I'll talk.
Okay. I think I asked you in the past, it's a magnesium in the product called Calm. Is it the right one?
Yeah.
But I want to know that I'm getting the right kind.
Well, if you take any magnesium, it's going to have a benefit, but there's some that are better than others. Like, for example, if you're looking over the counter, magnesium glycinate is like a very good all-around form of magnesium.
Okay.
Now, I've been using a form of magnesium that's vegetable-based, and it's quite a bit more expensive, but they're growing it in the field. I'm telling you, I've seen such good results from this. It's like almost borderline unbelievable, but I've had so many people tell me that when they take this form of magnesium, all of a sudden they don't want to eat as much. And I'm thinking, I'm going to take advantage of that every chance I get. Because if a person takes a form of magnesium to create sustenance, then all of a sudden they don't want to eat as much. And I'm going, really? Where was this 30 years ago? I could have helped, but so.
What's their name?
Well, the brand, it's made by Standard Process. It's called EZ Mag.
EZ?
Yeah, and the pills are about as green as possible, so you know it's real. It comes, there's nothing synthetic. It's not stripped mined. Most magnesium has been just blown up in a field near a mountain range, and they just strip it out and add it to a capsule.
Okay.
But when you get magnesium from either water or food, there's nothing better.
Okay. Thank
yeah,
you.
But I've had people tell me that when they take it, they go, what is the deal? Normally I could overeat, so I could go to a Golden Corral and eat 3 servings. But now I'm doing good to even finish half my plate, and I feel full, and I'm going, good, tricked you into getting well.
Yeah, if you are diabetic or pre-diabetic, isn't that true that your nutrients cannot get into your cell?
Yeah, and the thing of it is, you got to have magnesium to get nutrients in the cell, and every diabetic is magnesium deficient. It's impossible. You can't have diabetes and have plenty of magnesium. You got to have magnesium for insulin sensitivity and insulin production and glycolysis, so pretty big deal. But thank you very much for your phone call today.
All right, thank you. I appreciate it.
Yes, have a great day, ma'am. Have a great weekend. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, I think I've learned how to control the new phone system. Thank you so much for tuning in today and joining me. I've had a blast. And as always, Lord willing, I will be here this time next week at 7 o'clock.
Okay. All right.
Thank you so much for your phone call.
What I'm thinking is he'll go ahead and have the surgery to get rid of the obvious one that's active, that we'll do this therapy and hopefully it won't recur.
Well, that's what we want. We want healing. I'm really proud of you for thinking about that.
Okay.
Thank you, ma'am.
You helped us in the past.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.